Said amen. How about open your Bibles to the 18th chapter of John? I want to show you something. I want you to look at verse 15, John chapter 18. What page is that in the Pew Bible? 1287. I want to show you something. And Simon Peter was following Jesus. This would have been right after Christ was arrested. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was not known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought in Peter. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Simon, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter said, "I am not." Look at verse 25 of John 18. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to Simon, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Peter denied it, and he said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter therefore denied it again. Immediately a cock crowed. Wow. Now, who's Simon Peter? He was who? The rock. The rock of what? Because it seemed like the rock is broken. Seems like to me the rock has lost all its foundation. Seems to me the rock has sort of crumbled under the weight and despair of fear and the crucifixion and claiming Christ to be his Lord. Seems like the rock is no longer a rock. Can you relate to that? You know, you ever had times in your life where what happens is, you know, you sort of have this high spiritual moment. You know, you're up on top of the mountaintop, and then the next week, lo and behold, it's like, you know, everything crumbles right in your very midst. I mean, you sort of lose your faith. You have an opportunity maybe even to say a word for the Lord Jesus, and you know, you just don't say a thing. And so the rock somehow just crumbles. How is it that the rock can crumble, and we have a church, the church of Jesus Christ? How's that possible? When Christ says to Simon Peter, "Simon, you are now Peter. You are the rock upon which I shall build my church." How do we go from the 18th chapter of John, turn over to the second chapter of Acts? Look at verse 22. Simon's talking to all the people in Jerusalem. Christ has ascended, and it doesn't look like the same man that we saw in the 18th chapter of John. Here's what it says in the 22nd verse of the second chapter of Acts. Peter speaking, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." I mean, that doesn't sound like he's still that wet noodle. It sounds like somehow Simon Peter has sort of recovered. He somehow recovered, and now he's speaking for the Lord. He's actually saying to the people, "Hey, you know what? You guys nailed him to a tree." Somehow he's got courage all of a sudden. Verse 24, "And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence. And he goes so forth and so on. Look at verse 27. Because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, now allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. His tomb is with us today. And he goes so forth, and what he says is, this Jesus whom you crucified is the Lord and the risen Savior. Now, my question to us is, how is it possible that Simon, in the 18th chapter of John, is denying that he had anything to do with Jesus Christ, and we move to the second chapter of Acts, and now he is standing, and he is speaking for the Lord. He becomes a prophet. He becomes a man that is there's an absolute transformation. How is that possible? Except by the absolute power of God, and that same absolute power of God to transform Simon Peter from a man who was absolutely overcome with sin and shame to a man who is standing before all these people preaching for Jesus Christ. That same power is here today available to you. Do you think that's only one person that God wants to be a Simon Peter? Do you think that the Holy Spirit came just sort of lift up one Simon Peter 2,000 years ago, but then that's sort of where it ends? Do you think that same Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life and my life? Because see, here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. See, what we've got to do is see, why is it that this happened to Simon Peter? How did it happen? What did Christ take Simon Peter through? But the even greater question is, how does it apply to you and to me and to this church? Okay? You see what I'm saying? See? See, how do we make it relevant? How do we make it something that we say, you know what? I wonder if God wants to do that in my life. Well, let me tell you a story about my life. In about 1986, I think, my wife and I were in a church that was dying spiritually. Literally dying spiritually. And somehow, God got a hold of our heart. Got a hold of my heart. And I was just, you know what? Jesus just was not hardly even on my radar. But what God did is somehow He got a hold of my heart through studying His Word. And we went through a period of several months where I honestly thought, I wondered if God was calling me out of my business as a CPA that I loved dearly. Love dearly. Now, if you've heard this story before, then just bear with me. Just bear with me. Because you know what? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You know, because here's what we do. Here's what we do. What we do is we think that a transformed life is only what happens to someone else. Or it only happens to someone who maybe has an addiction of some kind, who needs to be rescued from alcohol or drugs, taken off the street, and God remakes and you know, it's like what we want to do is we want to make transformation for everybody else. And I'm here to say to you this morning that that's not what it's about. Okay? And I'm going to use my story just as a beginning point to finish out what happens with Simon Peter. Here's what happened in 1986. We start sensing God might be doing this because somehow I start teaching the Bible and I start getting blessed by my teaching and I'm teaching a Sunday school class, I get blessed in the class, people get blessed in the class, and we just begin to wonder this. So here's what happens in August of 1986. In August of 1986, my family and I are in Holden Beach, North Carolina, and we have completed a week's vacation. We're getting ready to go. We've got the car all packed up. It's a Sunday morning. And, of course, what we do on Sundays is we go to church. So before we leave the beach that morning, we go to Holden Beach. Now, I forgot an important part of the story. At 6 o'clock on that Sunday morning, I'm spending time with the Lord. You know what? If there's ever by anybody that's ever going to be a champion for you spending time with God every single morning when no one else is around you, when you can just hear from God, I'm going to be that champion because that's what happened to me. Okay? And so that Sunday morning, I was up like I had done. I did every night that every day that week, but I was up that Sunday morning at 6 a.m. and I'm sitting in the den there in the beach house. And I hear this voice as clear and audible as I am talking to you right now. Never heard it so audible. Never have then, never have since. But I heard it audible, and he said, I want you to be a preacher. So clear was that voice that I bowed my head and I said, God, I hear you. I want you to know I'm acknowledging to you right now that I heard what you just told me, that you want me to go into the ministry. I've heard you. But you got to tell Debbie. That's what I said. I said, Lord, I've heard you. You want me to go? You got to tell my wife. So we went to church that morning. We're sitting in the service. And I said, also at 6 o'clock that morning, I said, now, Lord, you got to keep telling me over and over again. And so we went to church that day, and I'm sitting in the service. And I don't know exactly when it was. I'm not even sure if it was when the pastor was reading John 21, which was the subject, the chapter that he preached out of that Sunday. He said, Holden Beach Chapel. And the minister was a visiting minister. What they do at Holden Beach is they bring ministers in from all over, you know, the southeast and give them a week's vacation if they'll preach on Sunday. And that's what this guy was doing. He's preaching on Sunday. And so, I'm in the service, and just the same thing happens. It happened 6 o'clock in the morning. I hear this voice says, I want you to go be a preacher. And I said again to the Lord, I heard you. I heard you. Hadn't said a word to Debbie. We're going home that afternoon. Left Holden Beach, we're going to Winston-Salem. And about, I don't know how long we've been driving, but Debbie says to me, she says, I got to talk to you about something. She said, you'll never believe what happened in the worship service this morning. She said, the minister started reading John 21, and the voice of the Lord came over me, and he said, Kip's going to be a preacher. Of course, I told her about my conversation with the Lord and that the Lord had to tell her. And so from that conversation, we came to the conclusion that all of our searching, that there was no question in our minds that God wanted me to sell my practice and to go into ministry. And that's sort of where it was. The next day, Monday, I went to work, and I had a 10 o'clock appointment with one of my clients, and I go out to the foyer to get the client, and at that time, we had an intercom system in the firm, and what it would do is when a call came in and a person wasn't in their office, the intercom would go all over the office and say, so-and-so, will you please pick up line such-and-such. And so my client is sitting in the foyer, and he said to me, because a call went out for a woman whose last name was Kennedy, I think, and he comes to me, I pick him up, and he says, to go back to my office, and he says, hey, is that Joe Kennedy's daughter? I said, I'm not sure. He said, because God heard the intercom. He said, well, you know, it's the strangest thing. He said, you know, yesterday in my church service, a 58-year-old man came forward at the close of the service and said he was leaving his business to go into ministry at age 58. He was going to seminary. He was going to be a preacher. You think that was a coincidence? 3 months later, we're going down to my mother's house in South Carolina. And we hadn't told anybody back in Winston-Salem that God was calling him to the ministry. And the reason why we didn't tell anybody, because we didn't think they would think it was a good idea. Didn't tell us so. Going down to South Carolina to tell my mama, and I was a little bit concerned about it because I had all my brothers and sisters. I got 3 brothers and 1 sister. Nobody had any money but me. You know what? That's a strange statement for me to make, okay? But that's the way it was. I was successful in those days, and my mother looked to me to take care of her financially as she grew older. And so we were concerned that when I went home and I told my mother that I was going into the ministry, she would act like she was glad about it, but she really wouldn't because it would make her afraid. So I go home, and I'm talking to mother. I tell mom, I say, Mom, you know, I don't know how you're going to take this, but God's calling me into the ministry. Mom said, I'm not surprised. She said, a few months ago, she said, I was sitting in church, and I heard this voice. Said, kept going into the ministry. And she said, you know, she said, the next day your sister took a job as a secretary at a church. And she said, I didn't think anything more about it because I just thought I had the name wrong. It wasn't Kip was going into the ministry. Your sister was going to take a job as a secretary. And she says, you know, I hadn't thought another thing about it. And you realize we compared notes. And it was that same Sunday in August of 1986. Now, why am I telling you that? If you knew me in 1985, and you saw me in 2009, you'd say, how in the world did that happen? The same Holy Spirit that changed my life so that I can't wait to preach the gospel to you is available to you today. Oh, so you think he's just available to Simon Peter? No, he's available to you. And what does he want us to do in this church? You see, what is all this about? It's about Jesus Christ transforming people who are lost, people who are just sort of, you know, we just somehow get off the right track. Somehow we just sort of start going our own way. Somehow we get confused. Somehow we get depressed. Somehow we get discouraged. Somehow we start doubting God. Somehow we start losing our faith. You know, what are we here for? We're here for the transforming power of Jesus Christ to reach our individual lives so that our lives can be used by God to advance His kingdom. The amazing thing about this powerful Jesus Christ, this wonderful Holy Spirit, is once you receive Him, if you try to hold on to Him and just keep Him to yourself instead of giving Him to somebody else, it's like some fruit on a vine that goes rotten. Not because there's something wrong with the Holy Spirit, but because the transforming power of the Holy Spirit is given to us to give to someone else to transform their life. And this morning, I'm trying to help you have your life transformed because I'm giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. Now go to the 21st chapter of John. I want you to look and see what happened to Simon Peter, because that's exactly what God wants to do this morning. Look at the 21st chapter of John. Here's what happened. Simon Peter has just betrayed Christ, but Christ has been resurrected from the grave. And Simon Peter, along with 6 other disciples, they're just sort of not sure what to do now. They don't know what their purpose is. They've sort of lost sight of what they're supposed to do in Christ. They're sort of like treading water. Like a lot of Christians. You know, we're just sort of treading water. God didn't want that. He didn't want that. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And he manifested himself, or he revealed himself in this way. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael, two others of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. You know, it's just, I'm going fishing. You know, what do I normally do? But I'm a fisherman. I like to fish. I like to do what I've always done. And so, you know, don't put this little Jesus, don't talk to me about being committed to Jesus, Pastor. Because, you know, that might mean I might have to change my life. That might mean I need to do some things differently. You know, so I think what I'll do is I'll just go back to work. I'm a fisherman and I'm going to go fishing. Where do you fish? What's normal to you? So that if you thought God was going to disrupt your normal, you say, I don't know about this, Lord. I'm going fishing. Well, that's what Simon's doing. I'm going fishing, he says. The other disciples who are with him say, we'll go with you. They went out. They got into the boat. That night they caught absolutely nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. You ever think about the times in your life when Jesus is right before you, but you don't recognize him? It's like Simon Peter is right now. You know, maybe you came into this place today. Maybe you're a close friend invited you, you know, and you just think you're just going to sort of check this church out. You know what? What Jesus is sort of, he's like standing on the bank. Standing on the bank, and you look and you just see a man standing on the bank. You don't know it's Jesus. You don't realize that the most marvelous, wonderful front page this morning's paper. It's a good article. You know, this past week we had these two families and all in the press and murder suicides, and so you know what? It's on the paper, the front page. I don't remember the headlines, but something like, what was it? Murder on call. In other words, if you've got a crisis in your life, here's a number to call. Okay? In other words, don't do a murder-suicide. Here's a number that the county's offering you to help you. Help you with finances. Help you with relationships. Help you with social organizations. Now, you got to make sure you're hearing what I'm saying here. What the newspaper did this morning was great. That was absolutely excellent. It was wonderful. It's a great idea. There's only one problem. The only person who can help someone for murder on call is Jesus Christ. And the paper can't even list his name. You and I have the power that transforms a Simon Peter who is denying his Lord, a Simon Peter who is fearful for everybody around him, a Simon Peter who is ashamed, who's a failure. If there's ever a man who was close to suicide, my guess is that Simon Peter in the 18th chapter of John was just that man. Yet we look in the second chapter of Acts and he has been transformed, not by a social agency, but by Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do that. And you have him. The decision that the Church of Jesus Christ has to make is whether we will follow the newspaper and not offer our Jesus to the person in crisis. Because it's not politically correct. Or we'll be like Simon Peter does. Do you realize the 21st chapter of John is the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ? No, not the second chapter of Acts. The church of Jesus Christ begins with these seven men. When Christ says to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my sheep" is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ must be transformed so that that becomes the method and the motive for everything that we do. Jesus says, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you know what happened this morning? It was so beautiful. You know what, when you walked in here this morning, that was prelude music. Well, it didn't look like to me you were preluding. It looked like to me that you were worshiping. But you know, it was like the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that brings someone into a room and transforms their heart. So they're worshiping and praising God when they give over to the Holy Spirit. That is the power that transforms Simon Peter from John 18 to Acts 2. And it's the same power that's available to you today. Now, you know what? I also know something. I know when God's Spirit's moving in this place. I can look at your faces. You ever see, you know, it's like you've seen a child like, this is a bad illustration, but it'll work. You know what, you ever seen a child like want some ice cream? And they get that ice cream, oh, this can't, you know. Oh. You know what, that's what you look like right now. Now, why am I telling you that? I'll tell you. Because you know how Jesus transformed Simon Peter? He revealed himself first. He manifested himself. And when you have a hunger to hear a man talking about a Savior that came 2,000 years ago, that's Christ revealing Himself to you. That's not someone educating you. That's the power of the gospel. Look at what He does. Okay, look at what He does. He says, I'm going to get to verse 15. Just hang with me here. Okay, here's what happened. He says, Jesus says to the disciples, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" "No." Verse 6, He said to them, "Well, cast the net on the other side of the boat. You'll find a catch there." They cast their four, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of the fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." That man on the bank over there, hey, that's the Lord. So you think you came to church this morning? It's the Lord. What does Jesus do? He reveals Himself to Simon Peter. Anybody, who loves to fish in this room? Raise your hand. You. Okay, Jack, tell me something. We got 153 fish that have been caught. In this passage, it tells us that down in a lower verse. It says 153 fish have been caught, and there's so many fish that the net is about to break. Now tell me what you, if you caught that many fish on the Chesapeake Bay, what would you do with those? What would make you feel like? What would you want to do with those fish? What? That's not what I'm looking for. You know, if I caught 153 fish, give them away. If I caught 153 fish, you know what I'd do with them? I'll tell you what I'd do. I guarantee you, they had people at that boat all day long looking at 153 fish, and Simon Peter would have been standing right beside those fish. "Look at all these fish I caught. Have you not picked up a sport page and you see this big fish is hanging there that some man's caught? It's so huge he wants to show the world." Well, I want to show you something. Because you see, what Simon Peter should have been doing, what we would expect someone to do as a commercial fisherman, got 153 fish just been caught, you'd expect him to be watching those fish. Let me show you what Simon Peter does. If you want to know how the power of the gospel can transform your life, here's how it happens, see. You've got to come to Jesus. Now look at what Simon does. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And so Peter heard, when he heard it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Oh, wait a minute, Simon. What are you doing throwing yourself into the sea? You're leaving these fish. You mean to tell me that, preacher, you mean to tell me that there might be things in my life where the net's on the wrong side of the boat, and you mean to tell me you want me to let those things go? You mean to tell me there's some people or something in my head that I can't, you know, something I've got to let go in order for me to take up what Christ is offering me this morning? You mean to tell me I need to throw myself into Christ? You mean to tell me I need to find this Jesus somehow? Even it means I've got to let go of this and let go of that and let go of this? Yeah. That is what I'm saying to you this morning. That's exactly what Simon Peter did. Jesus reveals himself, and he's revealing himself right here this morning. So what do you do with that? Is there anything in your life that you need to let go of? Is there anything in your life where the net's on the wrong side of the boat? And it's on Jesus' side of the boat. It's on your side of the boat. Maybe it's a spirit of unforgiveness. I don't know what it is, and I don't have to name it because the Holy Spirit will name it for you. You say you're confused, you're going through a transition in your life, and you know, the things that you used to have that mattered so much, somehow they're not there, they don't have the meaning, or somehow it's not, I don't know, but what happens is all of a sudden you're going through this transition, and you sort of get lost, and you don't know how to get found, and what Christ says, throw yourself into me! You want to get found? Throw yourself into some Jesus! You know what Jesus does? I love this. It's so precious. He invites them to dinner. He says, "Hey guys, let's eat breakfast. Come and eat. Come, just come and eat." Now Simon Peter's satisfied. It's after breakfast, and Simon's over to the side with Jesus. Here's where the church is established. Verse 15. They had finished breakfast. Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? If you wondered what the these is, it's the fish." So, you know, Jesus says to Kip, "Hey, Kip, you like all that crown molding in your office? You like that big wooden desk? That leather chair? You like that? You love me more than these, Kip? Do you love me more than these?" Because see, that wooden desk is nice, and that leather chair is nice. But it ain't nothing compared to what I'll give you. So if you love me, Kip, here's what I ask you to do. Feed my sheep. You see? It's the same question Jesus asked me 20 years ago, 25 years ago. He's asking you today, do you love me? You love me? See, because love is a verb. Now, it may mean that in order for you to work that verb out, gotta let some things go. They mean that. And you can't let anything, you can't take up, you can't grab anything with a hand that's filled with something else. You see? He says,
let go of this and take it up. Feed my sheep. Okay, here you go. I'll give you a challenge. Tomorrow, you're going to go to work, most of you. And most of us work with other people. Tell you what you do. Tomorrow, for break, take a Bible and open it on your desk.
A Bible? I mean, you know, Pastor, this is a government office. You want me to open a Bible on a government desk? I didn't say take the Bible and hit anybody with it. I said, take your Bible and let someone see it open. Why?
What's he say? Hey, he says, you love me. You love me. Then feed my sheep. The church has to come out of the closet. Believers have to be committed people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that what we stand for is Christ Jesus, so people know who we are. We have what will satisfy the world. We have what will help people out of crisis. He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. You realize Simon says 3 times, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And those 2 words are the words that transform the wilted man into the rock of Jesus Christ and establishes the church. And you know what else? It's the last time the Bible records that Simon Peter went fishing. See, do you love me? You love me. May I have to let those fish go so you can feed people with the gospel of Jesus.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, perhaps there's someone in this room today who is yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ as a means whereby we have forgiveness of our sins. God is calling you today to do that. It is as if He is knocking on the door of your heart. And He is saying to you, open your heart to me. Let me sustain you. Let me forgive you. Let me restore you. God will not make you open that door. He will only knock. The doorknob's on your side of the door, and only you can open it. And He's inviting you to do that today. If you're ready to open your heart to Jesus Christ, here's how you can do it. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. And I will remain in the front of the church right where I am right now. You stand up from your seat and you come forward to me and simply say, I want to be saved. That's all you have to say. I will help you with the rest. In that statement, you are saying, today, I choose to place my net on Jesus' side of the boat. I choose to go the way of the Lord in my life, to come to Him as my Savior. The Bible says that when we place our faith in Jesus, by God's grace, He will forgive our past, our present, and our future sins. So it's up to you to open the door this morning. We are simply giving you that opportunity. Perhaps there's someone else in this congregation this morning with your eyes closed and head still bowed, and you just want to say, yes, Lord. You want to say, Lord, yes, I love you, and I want to feed your sheep. I pray in Jesus' name that you would reveal to me how I can do that, whether it's an open Bible on my desk tomorrow morning, or a telephone conference that I call that I have tomorrow, or a friend at school, or a neighbor. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh Father, yes, Lord. You come forward this morning, and whether you say that to me, you kneel at the front of this church, and you say it to your Lord and King, that we might be a transformed church, empowered by the blood of Jesus, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, commissioned as His church. Now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, you take us. We know you'll take us just as we are, because that's what grace is all about. And you make us into the people of God that you've called us to be. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand? And would you come forward as God is leading you this morning?